I want to begin by telling you a story, because I want this guy that I'm going to be talking about today to get credit for whatever I do here today, because it's from his book that I took most of this lesson from. In December the 12th, 2005, an issue of Time magazine had an article in the religious section called Father in Time. 4 days before Christmas in 1994, a young man by the name of John David Eddington, who was 22 years old, and he was the adopted son of a Presbyterian minister by the name of Howard Eddington. He was driving home through Orlando, Florida, when a downpour came. He lost control of his car, ran into a tree, and he was killed instantly. Now, the tragedy was mourned deeply because not a lot of people knew him, but they did know his father. They knew Pastor Eddington. That's what I'll call him. He could have went into, you know, seclusion and said, you know, I'm going to need a while before I can ever come back and preach. He preached that week. He preached 3 sermons on Christmas, which would tell you a lot right there. Now, the subject of his lesson the last day was the role of Joseph in this story of Christmas that we began last week. The role of Joseph. And shortly thereafter, in the year 2000, he wrote a book called The Forgotten Man of Christmas, Joseph's Story. I borrowed a little bit of that this morning. Joseph, truly the forgotten man of Christmas. We look at the nativity scenes. We see him standing over there. And we know very little about him. Or what he did. What's his contribution other than standing in a nativity scene? We really need to, you know, it's a good thing for us to look up and see all the participants that took place in the miracle I talked to you about last week. Now, if you were with us last week, I talked to you about the angel Gabriel having a conversation with this young girl named Mary. And he told her, if you remember, he told her that she was going to be with child of the Holy Spirit, and she would give birth, and she replied, but how am I going to do this? I don't know a man. I've never been with a man. And the angel told her that, let the Holy Spirit take care of this now. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and he'll overshadow you, and you're going to give birth to the Son. Now, Mary had definitely been chosen, no doubt about it. She's going to have it. Now, he also said something about prophecy to her and told her. 5 things he told her, I told you last week. 3 of them have already come to pass, 3 prophecies that come to pass. And 2 are still left. The 2 that are still left is about the government being on his shoulder, about Jesus, when he comes back, he's going to fulfill that prophecy too. There are only 2 that's left to be fulfilled. Can I say this? If Jesus want something to happen in this world, it's going to happen. Okay? It's going to happen. See it all the way through Scripture. If it's prophesied in Scripture, if Isaiah said this, we're going to happen, it's going to happen. Just wait for it. If it hadn't happened yet, it's going to. It's going to happen. Well, when we delve into the story a little bit this morning, we know little of Joseph. Little bit of Joseph. We just, and in the book Dr. Eddington wrote was a little small, thin book. And I had one I ordered years ago and read and enjoyed and was going to use it this week and couldn't find it anywhere. Way it goes. But the role of Joseph was much bigger than we think, much bigger than we give him credit for. After Gabriel told Mary that she would give birth to a son, she apparently left Nazareth. She left town, and it's for us to, you know, kind of pick this out of there. Obviously, I don't think she told Joseph anything about what the angel had said about having a baby, any of that thing, because they were betrothed to each other at the time. So she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who's also been told, or her husband's been told in a dream that she's going to father, she's going to be the mother of John the Baptist. And that was given. And you remember her husband, Zechariah, he said, wait a minute. When the angel told him, he said, my wife's barren. We ain't never gonna have children anyway. And now I'm way too old, and so is she. And the angel just kind of looked and said, you know, I walk around with God, and you telling me something's not going to be? So he closed his mouth. He couldn't speak for a period of time until the babies were there. So there it is. God says that it's going to happen. So, you know. But we get into this thing after Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah. After she visits them, she comes back to Nazareth. And I put in your notes, I put surprise, surprise, surprise. Y'all don't know Gomer Pyle, do you? Surprise, surprise, surprise when he comes back. Now, we don't know actually when the conception took place. We're not given to that. I'm not sure Mary knew. You know, maybe she did. Maybe she figured it out. I don't know. But after being with Elizabeth for 3 months, she comes back to Nazareth where she is noticeably pregnant. It's noticed. Now, let me go back like I did last week and explain a little something to you about the Jewish betrothal period in that day. It was much more serious than what we talk about. We said today in Sunday school, you know, a couple today said, hey, we're going to run off and get married. We didn't, okay. It didn't happen that way here because there's a long, drawn-out period. Obligations had to be met. Obligations had to be promised. There was money that changed hands. The groom would have to go to the bride's father, and their fathers had to get together, and they were documents. They had to sign over the documents. They did all this during the betrothal period. Now, they weren't ready to get married until all this was finished. And then they could take every how much time they wanted after that. But it was understood that there were a few reasons that you could break this betrothal. One of them was what we're seeing here. Joseph looks and his betrothed is 3 months pregnant. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And he didn't, you know, what's going to happen here? And if you broke the engagement, it was considered like a divorce in our day. Because if you did that, let's say a husband died during the betrothal period. The woman was treated like a widow, even though she had never gotten married to him. So there was, you know, there was a lot to it that's different than what we go through. Now, it was a celebration, top celebrations. The bride went and got the groom went and got the bride and carried her over to his own house. And after the probably a week-long celebration, parties and all this kind of stuff, then they started their life together. Well, we got a problem. You know, there's Mary. She's obviously pregnant. Now, that wasn't allowed, you know. It wasn't allowed even if the baby had been Joseph's. That wasn't allowed. So, anyway, he looks at Mary. And you can imagine what went through Joseph's mind. Now, what probably should have went through his mind is he can call Alexander Shinara. Call me, Israel. Call me anytime you want to call. He'll take care of all your problems. This was a serious problem here. And so Joseph did what many of us would have done. He went through the what if this happens. And I entitled this the situation, what if this happens. Verse 19 kind of gives credit to Joseph for his intention. Now, here's what Joseph first did. And this really tells his character right here. Joseph loved Mary, okay? He really loved her. And when he saw this, it broke his heart. Who wouldn't? But not only, he got over it real quick, evidently, because his intention was to put Mary away secretly and divorce her through the means by which he had to divorce her, but put her away secretly. And I'll tell you why the secrecy. Because you know what the penalty for this was? Stoning to death. They would take her outside and stone her to death and kill her unborn child and her too. They were real serious about this kind of thing. So Joseph was trying to avoid all that kind of talk. Now there was another problem. Joseph, if he sees this and he knows this, and he does, he's got to take some kind of action or he's going to be in trouble. You know, he's got to say, okay, look, she betrayed me. I don't know what's going on. And I'm reporting this, write it down on the papers, and the law should take its course. He didn't do that either. He wasn't scared for his own skin. He just loved her so much he couldn't do that. Now on the screen, I want you to look. It says, after the birth of Jesus was follows, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Minded, if you look in the glossary, means that he had spent a lot of time thinking about it. It was on his mind, and he was prepared for what to do, and he wanted to do the right thing. Now, he had basically, you know, three things, you know, that could have happened that he could have would wrestle with, okay? First one was that Mary had been unfaithful to him, or somebody, okay? Joseph, when he first thought that, he thought about how Mary was. That didn't have anything to do with Mary's character, her personality. That was not her. She would have never done anything like that. And if she had, she would have reacted when he saw her when she came back. She would have been sorry for what she had done. She was a young Jewish lady that was upright in character, humbled herself before God. So Joseph knew all that. He loved her. And he knew if she hadn't done anything like that. So he could pretty much, you know, her lifestyle of being a Jew was right down the line. He could pretty much look at that and say, that went on, you can cross that one off. I don't think she's been unfaithful. And then the terrible thing, that maybe Mary had been attacked and raped. He said, and he looked at that, well, this is not likely because there's no evidence. She didn't tell anybody. There's nothing. There's no incident. There's nothing that happened. So that thought kind of went out the door. And then the third one, could it be that Mary had been chosen, that she had been chosen by God to be the mother of the Messiah, and Joseph, being of the house of David, fit this option? Now, early on in Matthew, if you look at the first chapter and you look at all the verses leading up to the one I've got up there, they're talking about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And they work it. He works it all the way down to Joseph. And then Jesus, the man who had to stand in line to be Joseph's father, he had to be of Jewish descent. There was no way he could fit the part if he wasn't. Now Joseph, he knew that. And he knew that being in the house of David, so to speak, that made this option more likely than any of the other options he's looking at. So he continues to think about this thing, and he realized, if I don't deal with the situation quickly, the word's no doubt going to start spreading about her being pregnant, He'd be accused of failing to uphold the law. There he'd be in trouble. But he had no proof of wrongdoing on Mary's part. There was nothing. He couldn't support her story because he had no proof at all. It's actually possible that Mary had not told Joseph the details about this. I think that's more likely than any of it. He didn't know any of the details and all that stuff. So he didn't know whether he should believe her or not. But then there's a story. God intervenes. And how many of you know when God intervenes, it's exactly the right time? It's never late. You say, well, I was praying about my sister and she was doing this, doing that. I prayed God to help her, but God didn't show up. He didn't ever go later on. God is on time. God knows when time is right. He's never missed time. He can't. He's perfect. So when God spoke to Joseph through the angel Gabriel, he was on time. And he told Joseph exactly what Joseph needed to know. This is the solution to Joseph's big problem. This is a solution to the surprise, surprise, surprise. The Lord confirmed Mary's story to Joseph. And in verse 21, I think Joseph was instructed to take Mary. You take Mary as your wife, and you name the son she's going to have Jesus. Now look at this. For he will save his people from their sins. He will. He's not even born yet. He's going to save his people from their sins. That was the instruction that was given to Joseph. Now, next in the scripture that we need to look at is Matthew then tells the readers of the gospel that all of this was done as a part of the plan of God. Verse 22, all of this was done as a part of God's plan. God was in all of it. Matthew makes sure the reader understands that these two just weren't on their own here and there. They were both in God's hands. And that's why the genealogy was in there. I believe it's to establish that Joseph was the right pick. And it had to be, and it was. But God had done this through the prophets. He had spoken to Isaiah in 7:14. Remember last week we talked about that? He had spoken to Isaiah the prophet and told Isaiah that there would be a virgin coming, and a virgin shall give birth. How many times have you ever seen that happen? But you don't believe in it. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, you can't believe in any of the rest of this. Because that's a central thing. It's a key ingredient. You got to have it. You don't believe it, then you can't believe there's a Christ, and you can't believe it was right where he came from. You can't believe any of this if you don't believe in the virgin birth. Now, it had to be very, very difficult, I'd say, for Joseph. But Joseph was a good Jewish man. He knew about some of the prophecies. I don't know if he knew about all of them, but he must have been greatly comforted now when he found out that Zechariah had been spoken to, and then Elizabeth, and then Mary. All of this was tying in. And when Joseph found that out, he must have been, you know, comforted a little bit better than what being scared of death. I would have walked around scared out of my mind if it had been me. I know that. But there were some things here that are supernatural, and they're not logistics. They're just not. You can't make them. I will tell you this, though. Opponents of Christianity, they have taken this thing right here and tried to mess it up as best they could. That Jesus was illegitimate. We don't know who his father was. You know. And Joseph made absolutely sure now that when he going to take Mary to be his wife, that no relations with her of any kind was had until that baby was born. Because if there had been somebody, one of those Jewish people, they'd say, oh, well, it's Joseph's baby. We should have known that. It wasn't Joseph's baby, and he knew it wasn't. It wasn't his. But I noticed something else in reading the scripture. Now, Isaiah says in 7:14 that a virgin will be with child, and the article in front of virgin is not it's the virgin will be with child. And then when Matthew wrote it over again, when he included it in his gospel, he said, the virgin. That's important. Not just anybody, same one. It's the virgin. The virgin he was talking about. And like I say, opponents of Christianity have tried to throw that out the window. Now here's the solution, and we're moving on. And y'all, we're moving on. In verse 24 and 25, we see these things. Joseph decided that the thing to do was follow the angel's lead. He was aroused from sleep, as the scripture said, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And look what he did. He took to him his wife. All the papers, I guess, had been signed. Everything had been done. And the only thing holding him up is she was 3 months pregnant. So he followed what the angel told him, and he took Mary to be his wife. That's not a small thing, folks. Please understand, that's a miracle. That's not a small thing at all. No one would have done something like that had it not been the Holy Spirit guiding them to do it. No one would have. You wouldn't have. I wouldn't have. We'd been looking all over for the problem. But Joseph, touched by the Holy Spirit, took Mary home to be his wife. And like I said earlier, he did not have relations with her until after the birth was passed of Jesus. Now, There's something else here I want you to see. The scripture says that Mary was found with child. You don't normally find somebody with child. It got started somehow, and you know it. But somebody's not found with child. Mary was. She probably didn't even know when the consummation took place anyway. She probably had no idea. But when she came home and back to Nazareth, she was found with child. So that was a Holy Spirit kind of thing right there. It's unique in all of human history. There is not one word of human history written about a virgin birth other than this. Only one virgin had a child right here. That's it. You won't be able to find it anywhere else, even if you look. And then Joseph said this. I love that. Whatever you tell me, Lord, I will do. Ooh. Whatever you tell me, Lord, I'll do. And I thought, boy, that's kind of what Mary said, wasn't it? You know, take me and whatever you need, Lord, I'll be glad to do it once she figured out what was going on. Now, I want to kind of end. That's the story, that's the explanation, instruction, and the revelation from this is something I kind of want to pass on to you and myself. So what do we take from this story? That Joseph was an important man, yes. That Joseph had a central figure, he was a central figure, and played a big part in the coming of our Lord, yes. You can check all the boxes. Was Joseph a devout Jewish man? Yes, he never would have done this. He was in all this. Was Joseph willing for God to work in his life? Yes, he was. Was he surprised by this? Yes, I believe he was. But Joseph has got to be a part. His character alone shows us and is there for us. And that's what Dr. Eddington wrote in his book. He said Joseph's character alone is a witness to us of what we should try to be in Christ. Now, I don't know that there's any prophecy about another virgin birth or something that's going to happen. I don't know what. You know, I don't know what the future is going to bring. I have no idea. God does. I can assure you he does. He knows. He knows ahead of time. And sometimes he'll tell people, but, you know, he knows. Don't think he doesn't, because he does. Now, there's two things I want us to take from this whole story, and then I'm through. First of all, what do we do with God in this? And most of the time on Sunday morning, and I'm so thankful you're here. I really mean that. It's a personal thing with me, but I'm thankful that you're here. And I hope God blesses you for coming. But on Sunday, what we normally do is we take the message from the pastor or our Sunday school teacher, hopefully, and we take that message, and we've got little God in us, and we take it out of here, and we go home. So we take a portion of God home with us. You know what I mean? And then Monday comes, and Tuesday I got a doctor's appointment, and Wednesday I got to go see so-and-so, and this happened, this happened. And long about Wednesday evening, if somebody comes up to us and says, hey, what did your preacher preach about on Sunday? I'll get to it. Wait a minute. And we don't have any idea. We brought God home. What did we do with him? We brought him home with us from the church. But there's no, somebody's asking us, hey, where's the evidence in your life that you heard that sermon? I don't have much of a memory, and this guy, we use all kind of excuses under the sun. But believe me when I tell you, that's not a bad thing. You need to take God home with you today. He needs to be in your home. And you need to do that. Whether you liked this sermon or didn't like it, take God home. He's worth it. Believe me. And then the second thing that I want to end with is don't just take God home. Put him in your heart. Put God in your heart today. And see how much difference there is in that. Take him to your heart. And during this Christmas season, keep him in your heart as you celebrate. And then all of that, see, will be supernaturally done. Because when you take God to be in your heart, you got power, friend. You've got knowledge, friends. You've got a lot of things. Put God in your heart so you can take him home with you this morning. I hope you got a little something out of that. Let me pray for us. Let me say this to you. If there's anybody here this morning and you need a touch from God, you've never been saved and you don't understand that concept, that's okay. Don't be misled. That's okay. Everybody that's ever gotten saved, they didn't know. I didn't. You know, but if you're here this morning and I can help you with, I'd be more than honored to pray with you this morning. If you want to take God home in your heart, you want to come kneel and pray this morning, then you feel free to do that. Don't grab the back of the pew and hold on to it and put fingernails in it. If you want to come this morning, you feel led to come. We're friends. We love each other here, so it's not a big deal if you want to come and pray this morning. I hope that you would after I pray for you this morning. Special thank you to my people back here in the sound booth and the scripture. If you knew what they had to do when I preached, they'll tell you sometime. But I appreciate them and what they do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we pause before you now, Lord, we want to go home with you in our hearts, Lord. We're thankful for the message in Matthew, Lord, for what you've told us, and Lord, for what you've set before us. We thank you for it. Lord, we want to praise your son Jesus, even at his birth, Lord. Him coming saves people, still doing it, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful that when he was born, later in his life, that Mary and Joseph realized they needed to be delivered too. They delivered him, but he had to deliver both of them from sin. He had to save them. And so, Lord, I'm so thankful for this Christmas story. That's so beautiful, Lord. There's so much beauty in it and so much of God in it. That it should be a witness to us about what heaven's going to be like with God. Love's going to overflow. It's going to pour out on everyone. It's going to be kind of like this Christmas. There's going to be songs sung. And Lord, we'll talk about another part next week. But Lord, I pray that during this season that you touch the hearts of these people that are here. I thank you so much for them. For those who are watching online this morning, God bless you. And I thank you for being here this morning. If we can help you as a church, we'd be more than happy to. Lord, we ask that you bless all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.